What is called by some as mommy blogging is becoming a big business. What started as a cottage industry of parents posting pictures and stories about the challenges and charm of family life has become a portal for advertisers, marketers, and entrepreneurs. Only a handful of bloggers make enough money to give up their day job. A survey of mommy bloggers by online magazine Type A Parent found almost half make less than $250 per month from their posts. Northwest Arkansas Motherload, a site representing parents who blog in our area, has a list of around 40 active bloggers, and say our area has the highest concentration of bloggers in the state. So, how do Northwest Arkansas moms look to monetize their content and get paid? And can we still trust their stories, reviews, and advice that those moms post online? Sarah Burningham has this report.
You flick through the Sunday papers, and you see the adverts, the coupons. You see that slightly different typeface and something that doesn't quite look like the rest of the stories, and you squint and you see that it's an advertorial. But how does that work online? Here in Northwest Arkansas, home to the world's largest retailer and host to vendors who account for the biggest advertising dollars in the US outside car manufacturing, a symbiotic relationship is growing up between PR agencies, advertisers, and what you might once have called mommy bloggers. Many prefer the term parent blogger, or simply blogger. The agencies that court them are in no doubt about what to call them. Influencers. A valuable new tool for advertisers to get us to do what advertisers have always wanted us to do, buy their clients' product. Stephanie McCratic is one of those mommy bloggers. She started her blog, Evolved Mommy, in 2009 after moving to Northwest Arkansas from Little Rock. She says she now has 10,000 monthly unique viewers. Here's how she got started.
My husband said, why don't you start a blog? And I didn't really know what that meant, but I thought it sounded fabulous. So I started Evolved Mommy and got into a playgroup. And Evolved Mommy took this tech focus because my playgroup moms were asking me how to update their iPhones, how to justify an iPad, how to use a flip camera. And before I knew it, I was living in this small town, but this community had built up around me locally and nationally, and that was a really cool experience.
A recent survey by parent blogging magazine Type A Parent found only 1 in 4 parent bloggers make more than $500 per month. Pay-per-click ad revenue is only really going to be a money spinner for bloggers with high traffic, say 300,000 unique views per month. According to Type A Parent survey, the top revenue source for mommy bloggers is sponsored posts. Stephanie McCratic says she had been blogging about a year when she received her first request to post sponsored content.
I was really flattered, but it wasn't a match. And so I knew that it was part of that I had achieved a certain level of influence, but they didn't really care about the relevance. And that kind of opened the floodgates. I got some pitches, and I continue to get pitches that almost feel gross because, you know, here's a quick $50 if you'll do X, Y, and Z. And a lot of times they'll ask for a blog post and so many social shares. And what a lot of agencies and brands don't realize is, one, I'm spending my social capital to do that, and I only have so much. And two, writing a blog post is actually a lot of work if you're going to do it right. And so you are asking me to take time away from my family and away from my passions to write about you for a dollar amount that does not meet what I'm putting in.
You may have noticed Collective Bias's current headquarters on South Main Street in Bentonville. But the agency is building new offices just off I-49, having outgrown the storefront space. Started in 2009, Collective Bias employs more than 100 people and has offices in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Minneapolis, Toronto, Canada, and London, England. The company hosts a community of around 3,000 bloggers. They call themselves a shopper social media agency. Courtney Lawless, VP of Communities at Collective Bias, says bloggers work with them for a couple of reasons.
It's a sense of community. So you have your community that will help you share and like and give you support and answer questions. But then the other piece is they make money in this by being a part of Collective Bias. So they would apply for what we call shop opportunities. So a lot of other companies will send bloggers items to review through the mail. They get the item, they do a review, We include the entire process. So we tie in the retailer, the product, and the experience. The opportunity might be go to Walmart, pick up the movie Disney Frozen, and what are you going to do with that movie to incorporate it into your life? And so they will go shopping for the item and whatever items they're going to do, maybe to put together a party. And then they will go home and then document that entire party process to their readers, tying, like I said, the retailer to the product to the experience.
Lawless says bloggers are paid anywhere between $125 to thousands of dollars for posting about these so-called shopportunities. She says mommy bloggers are attractive to advertisers because of their authenticity.
These are real people talking about real experiences. They're incorporating their families and their personal lives into things. They're taking pictures inside their home where you're seeing the pile of laundry or, you know, the fresh cut flower, whatever it is. And their children, they're opening their doors and saying, I'll photograph my child and show them to you. And you'll see the chocolate on the face or, you know, they're opening their doors into their homes. And I think that's what's really appealing to their followers. And it's appealing to the brands too.
So how do we pick out trustworthy content on blogs when so much of it has been paid for? The Federal Trade Commission introduced regulations in 2009 and updated them last year, targeting bloggers and sponsored content. Patsy Watkins is professor of journalism at the University of Arkansas, and she teaches ethics.
If they're receiving something free for a mention of a certain product, or if they're getting actually paid cash for mentioning a product, and then the third is an endorsement for an advertiser or a client, which they might do outside the context of blogging, but they might do it in some other form of social media, such as a Facebook mention or a Twitter mention. And so those are the three places where they're supposed to note where they're getting this material, compensation of some sort for these mentions. What is recommended by the FTC is that they have some sort of disclosure. And this disclosure can be as simple as saying in the blog post, and I get such and such free diapers from so-and-so, but they are really good. You know, they just have to mention it, something like that. They don't have to have some sort of emblem that says disclosure.
Both Stephanie McCratick of Evolved Mommy and Courtney Lawless at Collective Bias started as bloggers and have spun their blogs into careers in social media marketing. And they both say that while it's nice to make money from your blog, maintaining credibility with your readers is of utmost importance. There's no point doing all the hard work of building a following, only to jeopardize it by endorsing the wrong products or saturating your feed with sponsored content. And it's certainly not going away. Old media bastions such as the New York Times, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal now offer various kinds of sponsored content. And market research firm eMarketer predicts advertisers will be spending $3.2 billion per year on sponsored content by 2017. Sarah Birmingham, Ozarks at Large.